We're back. It's our national hour of the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. We are live on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. In a few minutes, we're going to welcome in former NHL head coach Bruce. There it is. Bruce Boudreau. Gabby. Tons to get into.
Yes.
Including John Hines pulling the goalie 3-on-3. Matt Rempe suspended 4 games. His Washington Capitals are they in a playoff race or are they not?
I mean, they would tell you they are, but they got starched by a good team last night.
They got pumped.
They did. They did. Okay, we teed it up in our previous hour. Rangers forward Matt Rempe suspended 4 games for an elbow to defenseman from the New Jersey Devils, Seigenthaler.
Mm-hmm.
In the second period last night, we were anticipating a Curtis McDermott battle with him. It didn't come to fruition. And then the elbow that led to a 4-game suspension. JB, yeah. We'll start with you.
Wouldn't fight McDermott. They literally traded for a guy to fight Rempe after he took 5 in a game on Nathan Bastion
yeah.
for a dirty hit. So they trade for a guy to fight Rempe. Rempe won't fight him. So then Rempe goes out and brains Seigenthaler and then waves at McDermott on the way off, which didn't love any of that. The hit for Department of Player Safety when they're going through the list are like, you know, coming at him from a blindside angle. His elbow is up, moving up and away. There is significant force. There is injury. I think it's a brutal hit. Game 10 for this kid. 2 majors, ejected, suspension, 4 fights. Like, 4 games, yeah. I should say he needs some cooling off time. Go sit in your room for a bit, son.
Yeah, I'm going to have to wholeheartedly agree. I think it is a little harder to hit guys when you're 6'8".
Sure.
But he got the chicken wing out pretty good. Yeah. Clipped him hard. I thought 4 games is the right number. I thought it could have been maybe 3. It wasn't in person, so they're not going above it or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I love what this kid represents. I love that he's like a new guy. Yeah. But at the same time, it feels like...
We all do.
It feels like he needs a bit of a, like you said, just go sit down.
I'm not overly surprised at the 4 games. Usually it's 2 games, and then it's 1 extra game if there's an injury. But I really believe that there was 1 more game added on to. So they wanted to send a really stern message to a guy that's caused 3 head injuries in the last...
In 10 games.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Like, excited about what he could be, but what he is currently dangerous.
Okay, let's welcome him in. Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, 617 career wins. Doing some great stuff now in the media. Gabby, we're just talking about a guy like Matt Rempe and how he came gangbusters into the league and now finds himself suspended 4 games. So before we get into any more detail, just give us your early thoughts of hearing 4 games.
Well, I just think the league, I think I was listening to you just now, and I mean, they're saying, whoa, slow down, young man. Like, I mean, you know, like, I mean, you're coming in here like gangbusters. We're not going to let you rule the roost right now. We've been trying to get this stuff out of the game, and you're coming in and changing the landscape again. So I think if this was just, say, a normal guy, I think it would have been 1 or 2 games. But I think they're trying to send a message to this young man that cool it. Just cool it. I know you're big and you're popular as hell right now in New York, but this is just calm down, kid.
Gabby, I saw someone say that I think he fought just 11 times in 157 junior games or something like that. Like, you know, once every 15 games or so. And, you know, none of these sorts of hits. But, you know, what is it right now that he feels like he has to do this to stay in the league? Is it necessary that he be playing the way he is for him to be impactful?
Well, I think, first of all, in junior, he's bigger than everybody. Who's going to fight him?
That's a great point.
Curtis McDermott.
A lot of the guys are,
that's who's going to fight him.
Younger, too. You know, like now he's against men. Yeah. And all these guys that have done it for a living, especially the first couple game when you see Delorier and Olivier, they're going, oh, my God, we've got a new piece of meat in here. Let's try this new guy. You know, let's... let's take care of this guy. But and at the same time, he's become incredibly popular in New York. And, you know, like, I mean, Peter's sending him out there to change change momentums of games. And I think he's going, you know what, if I can continue to do this and do this well, I'm going to make some money in this league. So, I mean, I think he's liking what he's doing. And the league's just saying, okay, you know, calm down a little bit right now.
I want to get your thoughts and maybe, JB, yours as well here in terms of what I'm hearing in the last little while from various shows, podcasts. What I've seen on the internet is that Rempe didn't follow the code. And if he would have accepted the fight maybe earlier from Curtis McDermott, maybe this might have not led to a head injury, maybe not. But where are you on the fact that he declined the invitation of Curtis McDermott to start the game?
I would have bet that Peter said, I don't want you going out there fighting right now. Because a young guy that's been in the league 10 games, he's listening to his coach. Like, I mean, you saw him in Toronto. He looked over at his coach and said, should I fight this guy? And, they were going to say McDermott was brought here only for the reason of fighting you. Fight him on your terms. Kipper, you've been there many times. You know, like, I mean, putting the guy in the position where it's your advantage type thing rather than fighting him that he wanted. Probably McDermott wanted New Jersey to get going right off the bat. And why give him that satisfaction? Now, me, I've never fought a soul in my life. I couldn't beat up my wife. But, I mean, so I probably wouldn't have accepted it either. But, I mean, in the code, you've been fighting everybody else. You know, you're on the ice and I'm on the ice. We both know what should happen. And maybe he should have done it.
Off those words, Sammy, do we have Curtis McDermott's soundbite after the game?
We do. Derek, you got
that? Let's play that real quick here.
First shift, I asked him. There's a bit of a code, and I thought he would have answered that, but I don't know what he was told, but he said no. And, you know, after a hit like that, you know, it kind of goes without saying you should answer the bell in some way and be a man about it. And then game goes on, then he throws another hit like that, gets kicked out, and possible suspension. So there's a right way to go about things and a wrong way. And, you know, I kind of lost a lot of respect for him tonight.
Now, I didn't hear all the clips from post-game. Did Peter Laviolette say anything publicly about that? I would hope if the instructions were to Matt Rempe to don't fight him, I would hope my coach would have my back and say, listen, I'm following my coach's rules or decisions. I'm not sure if anything was said or not.
Well, I don't know if anything was said. I do think this though. I think, Peter wanted him to fight against Ryan Reeves. You know, when they were down 3-2, they were looking for a little jump. I mean, he kept him on after the 35-second mark with a face-off in their zone, down 3-2. So, I mean, I'm thinking at that point he wanted the jump, but at this time, Ethan, let's do it on our terms, I guess. I don't know. For a young guy not to accept it, though, Kipper, don't you think that that's sort of the wrong way to go about it when he's doing this to everybody else?
Listen, in the year 2024, I'm not going to sit here and tell somebody he should fight if he thinks he shouldn't fight. Like, there's so much risk here. It's such a personal decision to drop your gloves.
Okay.
But I'm just saying, from Bruce's comments, listen, I took out a Hall of Fame goaltender in Grant Fuhr. Okay? I didn't fight Tony Twist the rest of the playoffs, but I sure as hell knew what was coming the next season. Mm-hmm. And the first game we played against St. Louis, Ty's like, you don't have to fight him. And I'm like, no, I have to fight him. Okay? Because I'm not going to have everybody tell me that I hurt a Hall of Fame player and I didn't answer to it. Mm-hmm. Me personally, I thought Rempe needed to take that fight against McDermott just based on the fact that there was so much history on taking out Bastion.
Yeah.
So in the old days, for me personally, I would have had to have said, I can't move forward. People will lose respect for me if I didn't take that fight and answer to my own doing. So to Bruce's point, yes, there's a certain message here saying, listen, if you're gonna run around like a human missile out there, like someone's gonna eventually call you out on it. Like maybe if you don't take the fight, which again, it's your choice not to, but here are the ramifications. People are gonna lose a little respect for you.
Yeah, Bruce, have you ever coached anyone like this before? Have you had to deal with players where, you know, there's the expression, better to tame a tiger than paint stripes on a pussycat? You know, this is really a tiger they're trying to tame. Have you had players like that where it's tough to rein them in?
Well, listen, I had George Parros right after he left Princeton, and he came to Manchester with me. And you know what? Like, I didn't tell him to fight or whatever, but he fought every game. He wanted to prove that he was a tough guy, and he did prove that he was a tough guy. But, I mean, he was looking for it right from the beginning, and you'd have to sort of rein him in. The one guy I had to rein in was my line mate, was Mick Vokoda.
Oh, yeah.
In the
80s. Yeah.
Like, I mean, he fought in 22 straight games in the American League. It was
22 straight games?
I think that's a record, yes, because I remember – grabbing him and saying, Mick, you do not have to fight every shift out there, you know? And he ended up becoming a pretty solid NHL player for a long time. But, you know, I mean, yeah, every team has guys that know that's their job. I've coached Donald Brashear and been on a team with Marty McSorley and all of those guys. They know, that's part of the job. It's not their only job. We want them to play hockey, but it is part of their job. And, I mean, it was years ago, but and I think this Rempe knows that that's part of his job. He wouldn't be up there if they were in looking for a playoff spot and they needed they lost Panarin. He's not going to be the guy that's called up. So, I mean, he knows what he has to do if he wants to stay in the NHL, I think.
Gabby, were you gone by the time Tom Wilson got to Washington?
They had drafted him, but I hadn't coached him. I was gone when he came up the next year.
Okay, and I'm not comparing Tom Wilson to Rempe, but there's a lot of people screaming that Tom Wilson was nothing but a goon when he first came in. I don't know if he had 2 goals in 80 games. And people were sitting there, get rid of him, get him out of the league. I'm not saying that Rempe's going to turn into Tom Wilson, but there is some upside in Matt Rempe.
But he's 21.
Moving forward here, on a forecheck, on a skate, on a eventual maybe 10 goals. I don't know, but there's so much upside here that to Justin's point, maybe it's just curtailing him a little bit and trying to work with him, but there's so much upside still on this guy.
Absolutely. Like, I mean, he can skate. He's 6'8". He's got a great reach. He doesn't mind going to the hard areas. And when you've got a guy that can be physical and can play the game and you can end up putting him out there in defensive zone situations and that, boy, you've got a real find. And that's what I think Washington thought of when Tom Wilson was running around. Yeah, we got to rein him in a little bit. But if we work with this guy in a couple of years, he's going to be a really good player.
Yeah. Good to turn page here.
Yeah.
I want to ask you a little bit about coach-referee dynamics. Seen John Tortorella recently gets kicked out of a game, doesn't leave the bench. Here in Toronto, we see Sheldon Keefe getting upset with the refs a lot and just never seems to get the benefit of the doubt with officials. You know, what is the art of those relationships and managing them and when to step on referees? Because it feels like some coaches today have kind of lost that art.
You've never stepped on a referee, have you?
Yeah, I've been kicked out a couple times.
Have you been kicked out?
Yeah, I got kicked out, warned. I got kicked out in the American League and the East Coast League. I hadn't got kicked out in the NHL. But I started to learn your lesson that you get a lot more with sugar than you do with vinegar. Yeah. In other words, if you're going to F these referees all night, they're people, they're going to do it right back to you. They are not going to give you a break. So I found out, even though they're wrong when I'm arguing with them, because I always feel like I'm right.
Of course.
That at the same time, you have to talk to them. And I remember, I've had some great relationships. One, Paul Dvorsky, I had a great relationship with. You get to know these guys, and you just ask them, and you say, what was wrong? I want you to look at it, tell me about it. But when you start, giving the, F-bombing them all night long, they're just going to turn away. I found that out early because I would do it, and you'd never get the break on the call. But sometimes if you treat them right, you might get a break every now and again.
We're talking to Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach, now analyst with the NHL Network. Can we ask you what you thought of pulling the goalie on a 3-on-3 in overtime, John Hines?
When I started thinking of the reasonings and how he did it, I thought it was really, really smart. I think we all want to do it as coaches. None of us have, a lot of us don't have the cojones to do it. But, when you think about the fact that on a 3-on-3, they don't have their three best penalty killers out there. They're probably using two forwards and a defenseman that don't know how to kill a 5-on-3.
Good point.
Don't know how to put their sticks in their lane. And he did it with a minute to go. He understood the ramifications. They had full control. 4-on-3 against guys that can't kill penalties when you've got a good power play. I think it's well worth the gamble.
Yeah, and paid off, and so tough to second guess it now, isn't it? When you get the W like that. We had wanted to ask you a little bit about the Washington Capitals. Not sure if you're following along with them too closely. Last night they lost at the hands of the Winnipeg Jets, but kind of in a weird spot, right? They're kind of in the playoff chase. They didn't really add at the deadline. Just feels like they're one of those teams that's kind of spinning their wheels a little bit right now.
Well, it's funny you ask that. I'm in Washington doing I was doing the Caps game last night.
Oh, okay.
I thought Winnipeg might have played the best game I've seen a team play all year.
Yeah.
They were in their face. They were they didn't give them a chance to breathe, and they had many chances to score. It could have been, the score was actually very flattering to the Caps, but I think the Caps they're 3 points back. And they got a really tough schedule this week. They're in Edmonton next, then Seattle, then Vancouver, then Calgary. And all teams are above 500. So, we were talking last night, for them to keep in it, I think they have to be 500 or better when they come off this trip. But, they're a team, followed them all year, and they've been really resilient. Every time you think they're out of it, they win two or three in a row. Most of the talk has been Alex about not scoring, but they play a good defensive game. And if they get the lead in the first period, they're pretty tough. Now, personally, I don't know if it's going to be a tough uphill battle when there's a couple teams that you have to climb over. But they've got, according to last night, they have the toughest remaining schedule in the league. And that means they're playing teams with the better records coming into the last 19 games or what have you. So, I think they're a team that won't quit, but I just don't know if they have enough that they just might miss by one or two.
Gabby, Rick Tocchet made comments after today's practice about Demko being out week to week, but he wouldn't divulge much else on it. If you were still on the bench in Vancouver and you lost Demko, what could be 4 to 6 weeks with under 20 games to go, how nervous would you be?
Well, I lost him last year for 10 weeks, and how did I make out?
Touche.
He had hip surgery last summer, and then he got hurt in the 12th game of the year, and he didn't come back until after I was gone. He's a great goaltender. Now Vancouver's went out and made some significant changes to their defense, but, and you know what, DeSmith is a pretty good backup goalie. But the bottom line, if you have to go with the one goalie for 6 weeks, it's, you know, they're firmly in a playoff position. To me, the biggest thing is getting Thatcher back into form by the start of the playoffs. Like, they're going to call up a guy by Silofs, I think is his name. And he hasn't had a great year in Abbotsford, but he was in the World Championships last year, really, really good for Finland. So, but I would be worried, because when we lost Demko, man, we lost everything, I think. And the team is much better now, and I think they'll survive it. But it would make me worry. I don't know what the injury is. Hope it's not anything to do with last year's injury or the surgery he had in the summer.
Bruce, I don't know if you had any deadline additions that were meaningful to any teams that you coached. Looking at this year's trade deadline, the Leafs were very cautious, added a couple of sort of steady defenders to it. What is the experience like trying to integrate new players to a club when you only have a month to go until crunch time?
Well, I don't think it's difficult, one or two players.
Yeah.
I mean, when you start talking six and seven players or a third of your team, I think it becomes difficult. I remember in the minors, as a matter of fact, when I was in Manchester, we had a great team, but half the team was up in LA at the time, and they sent five guys down after their season was over, and they didn't really want to be there, and it really hurt us. I've also been, you know, where I've asked George McPhee, I said, I think we need this position. And he went out and got Sergei Fedorov, which was a tremendous add to us. And it worked out. When I was in Mini, we went out and tried to, we were first overall at the time, and we went out and got Martin Hanzel, but it really threw off the chemistry of the things. And we didn't make too many moves in Anaheim at the deadline, but it's a really touchy situation. Is touching, you know, fooling around with something that's working right now and trying to make yourself better, keeping up with somebody that looks like, oh, they just made a big move, we've got to make a big move. But I really believe in the chemistry of the team. If you're going good, it'll continue to go good. Let's not upset the chemistry. So I don't think, as long as you're a GM and you show you're trying and you're tweaking it and you want to make the team a little bit better and you don't really upset the apple cart, I think you're doing good. But I think if you go out and get a lot of big players, and look at the Rangers last year with Tarasenko and Kane, it didn't work out there. But I mean, that's where I'm thinking that it upsets the apple cart more than it does help you sometimes.
Okay, in saying that, who has a bigger immediate impact on their hockey club? Hanifin in Vegas or Gensel in Carolina?
Well, I think Carolina doesn't have anybody like Gensel. They've never had the 40-goal scorer. They've had a really good team. They got a lot, you know, Aho's a really good player, but he's not the dynamic guy. I think Gensel's going to be a really impactful player there, and Hanifin's going to be a really, really steady guy that already is going to fix mix in with a really good defense. I mean, you're going to see a shutdown pair of Hanifin and Pietrangelo, and that's good. And those are also guys that are offensive at the same time. I think that's going to be a pretty tough group to beat. But I really like the Gensel move, and I just think it as a player and a star coming over, it's something that Carolina hasn't had. And I think he's going to really do a good job there.
Gabby, really appreciate your time, man. Thanks for doing this for us.
No problem, guys. You have a great day.
All right.
Thanks, Bruce. Appreciate it.
Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach. One of the winningest guys in our game, 617.
Never get him in the same place twice. And the last time he was like in his like bar area in his place.
I know. And I don't know if there was like a mini earthquake or something, but for those of you that didn't watch him on Zoom, his camera wouldn't stop shaking. We have a monitor to the side here, and like I couldn't watch it too long or else I was getting nauseous.
A little turbulence.
Anyway, that guy, I mean, what I could you know, he could sit in your chair, Nick, and I'd be very happy. He's got something on everything. He's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was great stuff. Go ahead.
Well, no, I just, go ahead. That's nothing important.
I was just going to just pick up on Gensel making his debut tonight against the New York Rangers, Carolina Rangers. I don't know. They never confirm, right? They're like, well, we'll see. Takes warm up.
I know.
Like, who a guy takes warm up knowing that he's not playing?
Yeah, it's a week removed from the deadline. He's there. He's in equipment. They're like, well.
Oh, yeah, God. It's just the goofiest thing to say.
But, you know, Carolina, and by some models that I've seen, has moved into cup favorite status. Part of that being that the top of the East is not as heavy as top of the West.
Oh, my gosh. How could you ever pick Carolina with the questionable goaltending?
Yeah,
Freddie Anderson.
Freddie still plays net there?
Like
Freddie Anderson. Freddie, not
until
Freddie.
You get over the hump.
Freddie Anderson.
None. Zero. I would take Wall over Freddie Anderson ten times out of ten.
He's a good goalie, like Samsonov here. He's a good goalie, but you gotta
protect him.
Well, you gotta win a couple of rounds. I think Freddie's. I think they're still a little vulnerable back there.
Yeah.
In that.
Yep. I think it's a reasonable criticism until proven otherwise. But yes, they are among the cup contenders out of the East, I would say. And if, you know, going through the Metro, they should be all right.
I watched Carolina play, I think it was Sunday, they played against the Flames. And the Flames are...
high holy hell out of them.
It was a schooling. The way you talk about teams that pass the puck, the passing on that Carolina team, man. They snap it around.
Sebastian Aho.
Oh, my God. He's a good player.
Oh, like he could have been a Montreal Canadian if
Sebastian Aho?
Well, that was such
a bad... Yeah, I do like him a lot.
That's a bad offer sheet.
Horrible offer sheet.
They're like, thanks, guys.
Go 10.5. Yes. Go big.
Yeah, but they're like, oh, you just signed our best player to a reasonable contract?
What did they offer him? 8.25?
Yeah.
Like, go 10 or 11.
Yeah, make it so they can't do it.
Huge signing bonuses.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a really good player.
So on the topic of teams.
That Finland team in the Four Nations Faceoff, TM, it's going to be scary good, boys, I'm telling you.
All right. The team like them, you're talking with Carolina snapping around. I also watched that Winnipeg Jets Capitals game last night.
Oh, you have a bit of an epiphany here about the Jets, I believe.
I'm a believer. I'm a Jets believer. That game they played last night, I know it's coming off their worst game of the season, according to their coach.
They only gave up, 23 shots?
Yeah, and, I mean, they hit six posts, and Washington looked... ready to cry.
Toffoli was in front of the net all night.
He was. He put it through Ovi's legs. Like, they just, every line is so solid. Every single line.
They look deep.
They are so deep up front, and their goaltending is so good that their D just has to be okay.
No matter what, though, they will be underdogs. Right?
Well,
you've got Vancouver ahead of them. You got Vegas ahead of them. You got Edmonton ahead of them.
But they can win the Central.
They can play the underdog role and find themselves in a conference final.
Well, that's it.
I don't disagree on that.
Let's say they win the Central and they draw Nashville in round one. They will mop Nashville in 4 or 5. And then they win a series. And all of a sudden, we're talking about the Jets here.
Yeah.
I watched a lot of Edmonton this year. Watched a lot of the Jets.
Yeah.
Gun to my head, like if I was betting my life on who would make the final, I'm not sure which way I would go.
Yeah.
Like I really do think, obviously,
you bet
on McDavid. Clearly, he's the best player in the world, maybe of all time. He's unbelievable hockey player.
But you're doing a Skinner Hellebuck thing. Like
I love the goaltending. Like you said, I love that third line. I love that Lowry. Like he's just a huge, steady.
Toffoli's another guy that's
absolutely
like a proven playoff performer.
Scheifele's gone to another level. Like I really. You know, there's a sneaky rivalry, not a sneaky rivalry. There's a rivalry between the Leafs fans and every fan base because they all just hate the Leafs, and we kind of have to pretend that we don't like them too, so that they think we care about them. But anyways, the Jets have like a sneaky rivalry with the Leafs and them during the bubble or whatever it was, the Canadian division.
Yeah.
It was a really good rivalry, and we know all about that. I'm rooting for them. I really would like to see them make a run.
I gotta tell you, come on, some Canadian
you
team
get.
Here.
This is where sometimes we can just overload and overrate lineups.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to even to watching the Leafs and their misery in their first round knockouts.
Mm.
Just switch goalies.
Yeah.
That's it.
Really?
Don't worry about the defense. Don't worry about the forwards. Just switch goalies. And the Leafs beat Columbus. They beat Montreal.
Yeah, just that. That's it. That's the only
thing. They beat Tampa.
They beat Tampa.
Yeah.
Just switch goalies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So now we're going into the playoffs, 16 teams.
Yeah.
Your Islanders sneak in,
and
Sorokin's on fire.
Right.
Hellebuck's on fire. Joseph Wall's on fire for the Leafs.
All of a sudden, you got Aiden Hill, Gorgiev, you know, a bunch of guys that you're like, I know they've had some success, but are we sure?
And now it seems a little bit more realistic here on upsets.
Yeah.
That's the way it truly works in the NHL.
Yeah, so
playoffs.
It would be, who's got the most points? It would be Florida versus, well, I guess by points percentage. Well, no, they're dead tied with points percentage and points with the Islanders and Red Wings. So it's like it's a dead tie right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, Islanders, Florida, waste 8 days? Or could they put a couple?
I would say the difference is Red Wings, Florida. Red
waste
Wings don't
8 days.
Yeah, because they don't have the goalie to make that a thing.
Yeah.
Like Sorokin can black out.
Yeah.
You know, it's the only way you're hanging around that series.
I picked Dallas to win the Stanley Cup. They sit first in the Central.
That division is a slog.
Dude, and Haskinen and that Thomas Harley and Tanev.
Yeah, they got their top three lines are as good as any's.
Yeah.
And they have, of course, improved with Tanev. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, Dallas is going nowhere unless Jake Oettinger goes to another level. They are where they are right now. And he hasn't even come close to the Jake Oettinger we saw a few seasons ago, almost steal.
You're right,
one Kemper. For the ages.
I haven't looked at his numbers this year. He's in 41 games. He's at a 900 save percentage.
No, it's
295
buddy,
goals against.
And look what they're doing.
Yeah.
If this guy even comes close to where we think he can get to, then I'm a believer of Dallas. But we're down to, like, goaltending now.
I don't love Dallas's forwards like I love some other teams, but that decor is very good. Yeah. They need Oettinger going.
Yep. But we'll do game time on the other side of the break.
Okay. We'll take a quick break, and Sammy will give us a little game time.
Diving deep into Leafs, Raptors, Jays, and NFL, the J.D. Bunkus Podcast. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. And remember, you can always text us at 590-590 if you got any thoughts on Matt Rempe and his 4-game suspension. And
sure, we'd love to hear you.
Wait, what do you think the temperature's out there? People want him out of the league, or
people are
still going, I still kind of like him?
Soon as it happened, I tweeted, you know, like, brutal hit, going to get suspended, just my quick thought.
And what was the response?
You know, primarily people being like, I agree with the Department of Player Safety, won't do it because XYZ. But there's one in particular is like dumb take. Like, you know, if you're not allowed to hit people or whatever, it's just like some people want everything this guy does to be okay.
Oh, my gosh. He would put the fear of God into half the league coming at them.
Yeah. Like, Matt, once he gets control of that body and puts another, he'll put another 15 pounds of muscle on that frame. I mean, you know,
and he skates like a missile.
I hope he.
I like him a lot, but I think it's a really, really bad look to not fight after that and to be waving to the bench after you're getting
waving to the bench after not fighting.
Listen,
is, like, you know, you're gonna have
I love
to
the kid
now.
And I love it all, but I think that's pretty bad.
I'll be honest with you. I'm not sure who it is on the New York Rangers, but somebody's got to be there to talk to him. Like that
Truba?
Yes, somebody. But the theatrics, the waving, right? He's just young. He's just a 21-year-old. But that stuff has to clean up. Because I'll tell you something that it reminded me right away was Mark Messier with Ty Domi. Ty Domi came into New York City, Madison Square Garden, same hype. Up against Probert, then the heavyweight belt, mm-hmm. right? The speed bagging motions.
Oh, yeah. Which, because I love it all.
Hold on.
The
core memories
the
of the kid.
Riding down the ice on his stick.
Yeah.
And you know what Mark tells him?
Don't do that.
You're a hockey player first.
Yeah.
Okay? No sideshow. And Ty shut it right down off of Mark Messier. And Rempe's cannot allow the waving of the hand, bye-bye. That stuff is just, no, be a hockey player first.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if they have that guy. I don't know if Trouba can do that the way Mark Messier could, but yeah, someone's got to tell him.
Game time?
Game time.
It's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So there's a lot of games tonight, 10, I think, in fact. Some really good ones tonight. Mm-hmm. Looking specifically at the really good ones here. The Florida Panthers paying a visit to Dallas to take on the Stars.
Good game.
Two Stanley Cup contenders. The Florida Panthers are, you know, minus 105. Dallas Stars are minus 115. So a little bit of value, almost even money on the Florida Panthers. I don't necessarily, you know, that's a tough one for me to handicap. But if you're getting the Florida Panthers at almost even money against almost anyone these days, feels like a pretty good bet. So give me the Cats, meow. At minus 105 over the Dallas Stars. And the other one that's really good tonight in Carolina, I guess the Rangers in the second half of back-to-back, you know, coming off the Rempe thing, maybe a little bit, you know, tired. The Rangers are plus 150 there. It's a minus 180 for the Carolina Hurricanes. It's a big number, maybe Gensel's debut, so that's why they've kind of juiced it up a little bit. Not bad value, obviously, on the Rangers, but that's a really tough spot for them to come in there and get two wins in a row there for me on that one.
I think, you know, taking plus odds on the Rangers at any point is pretty good, but that looks like a round two playoff matchup. Not sure who else could come out of the Metro there.
Yeah, and I'm looking at this one here. Detroit Red Wings need a win in the worst kind of way.
Yeah,
they are in Buffalo tonight. They are plus 115 against the Buffalo Sabres. Who have you bet?
Detroit.
Okay. I think this is a really good spot to get the Red Wings, who have shown to be a pretty good team at times this year, obviously on a cold stretch, but they need this one in Buffalo. There'll be a ton of Red Wing fans there tonight. Give me the Detroit Red Wings plus 115 to take down the Buffalo Sabres.
Yes, plus money against Buffalo.
Are they going to kick themselves at the end of the year for letting the Islanders
creep in,
steal their playoff spot?
You know, I feel like so often we talk about streaks and runs of play without looking at the schedule. Like, Detroit lost five games in a row or whatever. They mm-hmm. lost to Vegas, Colorado. I don't have it in front of me, but they lost
the Islanders in that stretch.
Yeah, that was bad.
It started their losing streak.
But they played three really good teams.
Arizona stung at 4-0.
That one stunk. But I think they played three really good teams there, too.
Yeah, and they've got Buffalo now twice.
So they came off beating the Red Wings 8-3.
Beating who?
The Red Wings beat the Capitals 8-3.
Yeah.
And then they lost five in a row, including against the Panthers, against the Avalanche, against
Panthers,
the Golden Knights.
Yeah.
So they got Buffalo, Arizona, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Columbus.
No playoff teams.
Gotta
no
make
playoff
some
teams.
Yeah.
Oh, you gotta erase your 0-5.
And then
right there.
Massive matchup against the Islanders March 21st after those games. Like that March. That's a big one there for them. All right. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds. Find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
You mentioned Carolina and Florida. If we were to look at all 32 teams right now, who has the best defense right now?
It's a good question.
Vegas.
Vegas is top of mind. Yeah. But I like what Colorado has now.
You do?
I do. Quite a bit.
I would say Colorado because they have Cale Makar and Devin Toews. Like, it's just the top
Makar,
end of
Toews,
that.
Walker now.
Manson, Girard, Walker, Jack Johnson.
Well, I mean, they're going to play 30 minutes every night in the playoffs. They're going to play the whole game. So, to me, it's still Colorado.
Because I also look at Carolina, and one guy that just is defying all odds is Brent Burns. I watched him the other day, and 20 minutes. He's almost turning 40. He doesn't miss games. Sammy, 39?
Yeah, he's getting up there. Brent Burns.
Like what a pickup.
39.
What a pickup by Carolina.
Yeah. Top pair playing with Jacob Slavin. You know what's great, too, is to play with a guy like Slavin. Let's Burns kind of do his, like,
And
did dog chasing tail. Did they retain on him? Did the Sharks retain on him? No.
I think they did. The Sharks have 2 years retained, 4 years retained, and 6 years retained in their three retainer slots.
They kept Pesci. Doesn't sound like he's going to resign, but they're going to rent him.
Yeah.
Slavin. Like, that's a really, really
good Their bottom pair is Dmitry Orlov and that Jalen Chatfield, who they really like.
And what's Orlov making? Like
money.
$6 million?
Yeah.
$7 million? Something ridiculous for a third pair guy.
Yeah.
I can't think of a more perfect guy to play with Brent Burns than Jacob Slavin.
I agree. Probably the best choice in the league.
I've watched so many of their games. I'm like, does this guy make one mistake ever? Like, he is so solid, quiet, just really good.
And the other blue line that I don't think gets the credit it deserves for being one of the top ones in the league are the Florida Panthers. Yeah. Like, they're sneaky good back there. They're big and strong. They lost Ekblad maybe for, a couple of weeks?
But, I don't know.
Yeah, 2 weeks, it says, at least.
This, we mentioned this Forsling, who just signed a new contract.
8-year deal, right?
8-year deal. Larson's come out of nowhere. What a pickup that is. Everybody's gone, Vancouver included.
Yeah.
Get rid of him, get rid of him. He stinks. He fits in nicely. Montour, like, he's going to make a lot of money. He's UFA. And then this Mikula.
Yeah.
Big guy, too.
Yeah. And, you know, Kulikov's no joke either. They're 70 deep.
Oh, boy, are they ever.
Where does the Leafs rank in this category?
Yeah. That's ultimately the challenge right there, Sammy.
Yeah. No, but, yeah.
I think you can make the case that it's the Canadian teams that have a great chance to win a cup this year. None of them have decors that can rival that. The Oilers, a little flawed. The Jets, it's probably their weakness. The Canucks. I mean, the Canucks might have, what do they got? Hughes, Hronek, Cole Susie, Zadorov, Juleson.
Susie's a
missing someone there.
Yeah, Zadorov. Did you say Zadorov?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
It's not. Quinn like
Hughes has got to be on. He's got to have a Makar run.
Yeah.
For Vancouver to carry.
The problem is you have to win your division, which they probably will, but then you're playing, like, if you're finishing second, like, take the Oilers, you're gonna have to play Vegas, Vancouver, Colorado, or Vegas, Vancouver, Dallas, or, you know, like, it's a real tough.
Quinn Hughes is -340 to win the Norris this year.
Wow.
Yeah so there you go.
Yeah, he's on pace for over 90 points still. Yeah. He's humming along.
Hey, did you see this expansion thing, the Anson Carter?
Anson Carter, yeah. Yeah, that's been out there for a little while, that Anson Carter had
a
group.
Did we talk about that on air?
I don't know if we did on air.
I think we may have briefly mentioned it.
Yeah, it's definitely out there that he's got a group that very much wants back in Atlanta.
Yeah, they want to do a development that will include an outdoor stadium for soccer, a lacrosse, a hotel, retail, performing arts venue, esports venue, as well as community and practice facilities. So it's one of those things where they're looking to develop a piece of the city and, you know, include the Atlanta Thrash.
I'll say this. Issues here. There's some holes that need plugging in the National Hockey League, but Gary Bettman and Bill Daly are not short of people calling them up and saying, I want in.
I honestly can't hear this without feeling some resentment that it didn't happen when I was a player. I would have loved for there to have been 38 teams in the league. That would have been very beneficial for my career. My point is, the hockey's going to get so bad, people like me are going to get to be involved, and that's not good.
And I know there are certain owners out there that want Gary jumping the fee.
Spike it up to a $700 million, $800 million.
Billion-dollar
entry.
Keep going.
125.
Keep going.
1.5.
Keep going.
$1 trillion.
What are you talking about?
$2
billion? Vegas was 500.
But Vegas is worth 175 now.
Vegas
is not worth 500.
No.
They're not worth a billion. They're north of that.
$2 billion.
Listen.
Here's my question for all these owners.
Larry Tannenbaum's getting out with an evaluation of $8 billion for the Leafs, and that is probably under... It's light.
Yeah.
Like, that's where these fees are going, and it's billionaires that are driving this thing up.
Did these guys...
Don't back up the truck in my ear.
Do they need... more money? They own a pro sports team worth $1.75 billion. They need to take checks.
Listen, I don't know if it's realistic or not, but that's where some owners want Gary to go. I assure you that.
And that's why people like Michael Handlauer, you know, do backflips to get a franchise for $1 billion, because now they're in line for the next payout.
Yeah.
They bet on the wrong horse there.
You got to sell it, though, first, right?
What's that?
To hit that payoff, you got to sell it. And in the meantime, you need your tens of millions to carry it.
Yeah. But I mean, people have been, I feel like franchises are turning over more than they used to. Like, didn't Mario sell his chunk of Pittsburgh?
I think Mario is very minimal now and really doesn't have anything to do with the day-to-day or anything like that. He's very much enjoying his life, as he should.
To me, this is like the logical way to behave. It's like I even feel this way about like Zuckerberg and Facebook. Can you not just separate yourself from it? Take whatever cash you can. Free yourself from whatever problems and lawsuits and whatever. Take your paychecks. Go play golf.
Some guys hate golf.
I can't imagine.
Not the three of us.
No. We're getting close.
Yeah, we are getting close. Anyways. Continue.
Kip, we're going to be missing you the next couple of days.
I was going to read the statement from Bill Daly, but
let's have it.
Which one?
He put out a statement about
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Oh, I want to hear it.
Greg Wyshynski tweeted it out. The league appreciates Anson's passion for bringing the NHL hockey back to the Atlanta area, and he has certainly kept the subject on our radar screen for several years. While we have made clear we have no expansion-oriented process placed currently, it's always good to know there's bona fide interest.
So would they have reached out to Anson? Like, I saw the collection of people, Neil Liebman of Top Tier Sports, Peter Simon of Simon Sports, and Aaron Ziegler of Ziegler Entertainment Group. To them, I don't know how much Anson Carter has money-wise, but I don't presume he's putting $50 million into this. I could be wrong. So,
like I was with the Ottawa Senators.
That's right. So it's like you have a hockey guy who knows how to, you know... who can help them navigate these waters, be the face of it, that sort of thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Were they asking you to put in $5 million or what? $50
million? No comment.
Right.
Buddy, I'm asking you to buy me lunch today.
You might have dodged a bullet there, Kippy. So any plans in the near future for your Kippy?
Yes, I'm taking the rest of the week off.
Whoa.
I want you guys to steer the ship. From here on in.
Kip has an upper body injury.
Yeah, Scram beat it.
And he needs to stretch it out by swinging his hands over his shoulders.
I really need a break.
Yeah, listen, man, I don't
Sammy, will your game time be okay without me?
I don't know. You have to get somebody in here to do it. Now that I'm moving over to the big desk, I don't know what the hell to do.
So you're coming over here?
I don't know. I mean, I feel like they're going to make me.
Yes is the answer.
I feel like they're going to make me, but I don't really want to. I like it over here.
You want me to talk to the hole over here?
I feel like we should just leave that open.
Interview.
I'm telling you right now, I'm demanding it. You got to up your dress game.
Oh my God.
Wear a suit tomorrow?
Yes. I don't know what it is, but this chair's special.
Well, Borny's going to be sitting in that chair, so that's fine.
Yeah, that's true. We'll take it up. Yep. No, it'll be good. We got a big night in the NHL. We'll have lots to talk about, a couple of good hockey games, and we'll get Kip back next week.
10 games on tap tonight. You pick your favorite one, and then you come and share them, your thoughts, with JB and our boy Sammy tomorrow on The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Our thanks to Bruce Boudreau, former NHL head coach. Always fun, with Gabby?
He knows his stuff.
All right, boys. Take it away. Rest of the week. I'm counting on you.
You've earned it. Perfect attendance till right now.
If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. The Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Have a great night, everybody.